Welcome to the Poker Pod. I am Dan and Brennan is gone this week. He's off to Alaska hunting bears or something. So I have a replacement co-host. Hello, Anna.
Hi, Dan.
Anna, I hear you are not Team Mystic.
No, I am the best team. I'm Team Instinct.
Oh my God. The rarest team.
Yeah, the rarest team, the underdogs, the one who's going to take down the world.
I see. How come you chose Team Instinct?
Well, it's kind of a long story, but I will try to make it short. When I started to play Pokemon on the Game Boy as a child, I was obsessed with the three birds, you know, Zapdos, Articuno, and Moltres. But my favorite bird was Zapdos, the electric bird. And when Pokemon Go came out, I heard a rumor that perhaps it will not be possible to get one of the legendary birds from the other color that you choose.
Oh.
So I really wanted to have Zapdos. So I decided I would take Team Instinct, because if that means that in the end I will get Zapdos, it will be worth it. And then I realized that all of my friends were either Mystic or Valor, and then I realized Team Instinct are the underdogs. So it was kind of nice.
Awesome.
It's really awesome.
I just picked Team Mystic because my brother-in-law and my godson told me to, so there was 2-0, and then I was just Mystic.
Yeah, but sometimes you have to go, like, you have to pick a team, so you have a good team with them.
Yeah, I still haven't. I've done a couple of trips with some Mystic players, but nothing organized.
Okay.
So I'm just taking down the gyms by myself normally. But we'll talk about that later today. So, I want to tell a story about my Pokemon experience this last week. I was at Ullared. It is a giant outlet. You know of it, Anna, don't you?
Yes. Oh my God, it's terrible.
Yes, it's hell on earth. It's a gigantic outlet that has been around for 50 years. So they have everything streamlined. And it's an enormous hall where thousands of people are driving their shopping carts in. It's a mess. But now Pokemon Go exists. So in the shop itself, there was a Pokestop and it was constantly lured by bored people. So I was just capturing Pokemons all the time. They had 2 gyms, one right outside the door and one in the park like 100 meters away.
And that tells how big this place is. 2 gym in 1 shopping mall.
Yes, it's like the mall has 1,100 employees, while the town itself has 790 inhabitants. So, I did do a lot of gym fighting there. And what has happened to you recently?
For me, I have collected Magikarps.
Oh, yeah, you see those little bastards all the time, don't you?
Yes, because at my workplace, we have the rare privilege that water Pokemon spawns everywhere. We have Magikarp, Staryu, Starmie, Psyducks, and also some Poliwags. But mostly it's Magikarps, and they spawn like crazy. I come to the job, walk up the stairs, open my Pokemon Go, and 4 Magikarps just laying up there and like, please make sushi of me, eat me. And I like, okay, I can capture you. And by lunch, it's like, okay, 5 Magikarps. And then afterwards, you go like 10 minutes around the house and it's like 10 Magikarps.
Okay, you're actually capturing them while you're working, but you don't want to say that on the podcast in case your boss is listening.
I rather not comment on that one.
So do you have a Gyarados yet?
Yes, I have.
How big is he?
He is 1,444 combat power.
Oh, I'm so green with envy right now.
Yeah, and he's my baby, and he helped me so much in gym fighting. And you know, the moment when you realize you have collected 400 Magikarp candy,
yeah.
And you like, okay, and you feel it in your heart, like you just want to press the evolve button, then you're like, okay, take it easy, take it calm, you just go home, sit down, crack open a lucky egg, and then you start evolving.
Oh, yes.
And it's so nice.
I'm at 236 Magikarp candies, so I
have
you're
almost there.
A while to go. They spawn in the channel here in the north of Sweden, in my small town.
Yeah, those watery fishes like them, the waters.
We also have some Pokemon news this week. So,
yay!
In Stockholm, the capital of Sweden, there is... I heard this entertaining story, so I had to tell you. There is a train. You know, one of those trains you see driving around amusement parks or zoos. And it's called the Pokemon train. So it moves through the city at exactly the right speed to enable you to gain your kilometers for your eggs. It's filled with Pokemon players. It's free to go. And they play music and have a host. And when I heard of it, it was Samir who was the host. For those of you who are not Swedish, he is a very, like, reality show actor turned singer. And it's like what the kids like, the really small kids.
Yeah, not big kids, not like me. No.
But I would go on the train with Samir in case. They were just traveling between Pokestops, moving around central Stockholm. And it sounded awesome. I haven't tried it yet. Of course, I am in the north right now.
It sounds really amazing. I mean, it's so nice with Pokemon. And also here in Gothenburg, where I live, yesterday I was in this big park. And I was supposed to take the train home after 10 minutes. But after 1 hour, I realized I can just stay and catch some Pokemon. And it was really nice because, you know, people have taken some chairs and they had some blankets because it was a bit of a cold night. And there was a guy who was, like, playing guitar, and it was a really nice thing. But we don't have a train.
The train is going to Gothenburg next.
Ooh!
Yeah, they were testing it for a couple of days in Stockholm, then they were going to move to Gothenburg, so it will be coming to you.
Oh, that sounds amazing. Even if Samir is on it, I'm going to try it.
I think they might have been using other artists as well, so if you're lucky, he's not on it.
Yeah, that could be nice.
You also had some news for us, right?
Yes, I have. Have you heard about this, you know, the updates for the nearby status?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's interesting because in the last update, I realized that the nearby, it has changed name to sightings, and it was also in the background of my Pokemon, there was some green grass. And then I read that Niantic has confirmed that in the next update, there will be a sightings, and that is Pokemon that has been sighted nearby. And nearby, which is Pokemon that are nearby, and behind each Pokemon, there will be a reality picture of where the Pokemon is. So you can see, like, for example, if you're looking for a Lapras, which you can happen to capture on the train, which I did this day.
Oh my god!
Yes, I did. It was so nice.
You captured him on the train?
Yes! Side story. I was driving home from work on the train. And then, you know, I open my Pokemon Go app, and then I see the shadow of Lapras, and I'm like, oh my god, it's so nice, but I can't really get off the train. And then the train just swing by the nearest station, and it stops, and suddenly Lapras is on the station. And I'm like, oh my god, I have to capture him. And I succeeded.
Very nice.
Yes, but in this new update for the app, it is like, so if you see a Lapras, you will not only see the shadow of it, you will see a picture behind it of the exact location in the real life world where Lapras is.
That really means that you get an advantage if you are playing Pokemon Go in areas you know well, so you will recognize the place.
Exactly! And it's so great because one of the big things that has bothered me with Pokemon Go is the lack of the nearby function that was said to be so great, and then it didn't work, and then it disappeared.
Yeah.
And so now, I mean, if the next update will contain this, I will be able to see a picture of, like, oh, this Pokemon is kind of like 3 blocks from here by the red car. And I can just run around looking for the red car and I know the Pokemon will be there. It will be great.
Yeah, that will be really helpful.
Yes.
I also caught a Lapras in the wild, but I already had one from a 10-kilometer egg.
But you can never get too many Lapras, can you?
I went to this church on a hill in Stockholm. It's in a really remote, like, residential area where nobody that doesn't live there is ever. And I saw the church had a Pokestop, so I took the bike. I was out biking. And I went up there, and there was Lapras right in front of the church. As a gift from the Lord.
and such a welcome gift. I really like Lapras, one of my favorite Pokemons all time.
Definitely. It's now my third biggest Pokemon.
Oh.
After Snorlax and my evolved Eevee, Vaporeon.
Oh, Vaporeon is nice.
It turns out that the big Pokemons are much better if they evolve from something common. So it's not hard to power up the Vaporeon, but it's super hard to power up the Snorlax.
Yeah, because, I mean, Snorlax doesn't evolve from anything. It just lies there and is very tired and big.
Yeah, and the only way to find the Snorlax candy is to find another Snorlax.
Yeah, and Snorlax are kind of rare. I had a colleague who was running around outside work trying to look for a Snorlax. And she didn't find it. It was kind of sad.
It looks great sitting on top of gyms.
Yes. I have noticed that. Just when you go around looking for a gym.
Yep.
Very many gyms here in Gothenburg are red and blue. And a lot of them are controlled by a Snorlax.
Yes, he's a pretty good fighter. Hard to take down. But the strategy piece this week will be attacking gyms.
That sounds great.
I know a lot of casual Pokemon Go players who are like, oh, that gym business sounds hard. I don't want to do that. I just want to go around and collect stuff.
Yeah, I thought so too, actually, because when I started to play, I was just like, I'm going to collect all the Pokemon. Gyms are not for me. And then I started to attacking gyms, and it was the best thing I've ever done.
it's fun. So the reward for taking a gym will start at the reward level. One, you have a button in your shop. If you've taken one gym, if you have a Pokemon in a gym, you can put the Pokemon there as well if your team already controls it. But the gym is controlled by a team. And when you come to the gym and there's a free spot, you can put the Pokemon there. It counts as controlling it. If you take it, you also control it. And then once every 20 hours, you get the option to cash out. And then you get, and that's in the shop, in a small area to the upper right. And what you get is 500 Stardust and 10 Pokecoins for each gym you control at the time you hit the cash out button. So that leaves a strategic question. Do you want to try to go for another gym? Or will you cash out now before anybody managed to steal the gym you already have? And I say, be careful. I'm usually cashing out too early, but that's me.
Yeah, I think it's a good strategy to be a bit careful, actually.
I think so, too. I think I've controlled 6 at the most.
Yeah.
The upper limit seems to be 10.
That's a lot of gyms to control.
Yes, and this reward is pretty bad. So even if you control 10 gyms, you'll only get 100 Pokecoins. Doesn't even buy you an incubator. And you'll get 5,000 Stardust, which is nice, but it's not super good.
It's not a big reward you really want to have. Like, it's not something you strive for, because 10 Pokemon coins is not that much.
So the other reward is the XP you get for fighting the gym. And we won't talk in this episode about fighting your own gym, a gym owned by your own team, because you can do that as well to train the gym.
Mm-hmm.
But now we are attacking opposing gyms of the other teams. So tell me what happened today when you went out attacking gyms.
Yes, because I had a really bad episode this morning. I went by the bus and I was going to take a gym because my bus stopped and it was standing still for a long time. And I was like, I'm going to take down this gym. It was a red gym. So I took it down. And then the bus left, and I forgot to and I was too far out of reach to be able to put in a Pokemon at the gym. So this put me in kind of a bad mood.
So you left the gym empty?
Yes.
Sweet for somebody else.
Yeah, and I felt so angry, but I didn't thought it would be appropriate to, you know, press the stop button and throw me out of the bus just to get the gym. There is a limit.
Yeah.
But when I went home, I was in a really bad mode and I was like, okay, every gym is going down. So I battled 2 other gyms, 1 blue and 1 red.
Oh no, not a blue gym.
Oh yes, a blue one.
God.
And I took them down. So I think it was in the blue gym, it was 2 Pokemons, kind of big.
Yeah.
And the red one, it was 3. So I took them down. And it was kind of nice because even if I was the only yellow person around and I was the only one who could be in a Pokemon, it was nice to put down their XP, the gym's XP for another team.
Yes.
So for me, it was kind of nice because playing as Team Instinct and as our underdog, not many yellow teams around in Gothenburg, it is nice to be able as a single person take down a gym that I see it as three or four persons that really stuck their Pokemon in. It's a nice one.
Let's talk about how the gym attacks works. So the gym has a level.
Yes.
It's normally like 2 to 10
mm.
or 1 to 10 even. But I run into mostly 2 to 4 gyms where I am biking. And in order to win against the gym, you are putting up 6 Pokemon in the fight. So you yes. are heavily favored as the attacker. And what you need to be able to do is to beat down all of the Pokemons in the gym to reduce it one level. And if you can do that, you can win if you have enough potions, because you have to heal up and revive the Pokemons that died or that fell unconscious, or what's the term, in the battle, and heal those who are wounded, because they can't attack again until they are healed. And then the lowest level, the lowest combat power Pokemon gets kicked out of the gym and the gym loses a level.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to fight it all over. So if you are fighting a level 10 gym, you have to do 55 fights to win. But for a level 3 gym, you have to fight it 3 times, plus 2 times, plus 1 time. So that's 6 times. But as you are attacking with 6 Pokemon, it's very easy to take down a level 3 or 4 gym by yourself. And if you are in teams, then if you have brought your friends along with you, then it's super easy to take down gyms.
Yes.
So what, in the fight itself, I know you can dodge. Do you ever dodge?
No, I just go heads on.
There seems to be some sort of sign you should look for and then you should dodge. I just smash.
Yes, smash everything.
And then you see those little bars to the upper left for your Pokemon for his special attack. And I hit those by holding in the thumb on the screen, pretty much. And then the special attacks goes off. And you should do that as soon as you can. The basic attacks you just hit as quickly as possible. And to favor the attacker even more, you are able, if you click quickly enough, to hit much faster than the defending Pokemon will hit you with its basic attacks. Meaning that with like 6 500 Pokemons, you could take down a gym hold by 3 1,000 CP Pokemons quite easily.
It is quite easy. I'm actually a bit disappointed that you can't be more specific with your attacks.
How do you mean?
Yeah, but you know, in the Game Boy, and you know, you can choose a different attack. You know, you have lots of attacks, and you get more attacks when you power up. And you know, some attacks are better to use against some types of Pokemon. And you can't be that specific when you go in Pokemon Go. And it's kind of disappointed me a bit, because I like the strategic thinking that was in the Pokemon Game Boy.
Yeah, the only thing you can do is like, you see that the first thing you're facing is a Vaporeon. Then you should put up a Pokemon who has good types against Vaporeon. But this is pretty much unnecessary. You just fight them with your biggest Pokemons and it tends to work.
Yes, exactly. It's like, you know, you just bash them. You just hit them until they fall unconscious.
I also noted one thing, that you have to stand pretty close to the gym to fight it.
Yes.
So you see all the other people that are there.
Yeah, and you have to think a bit strategic, because sometimes it is worth waiting for like a group of people to take down the gym, and then really quick, you know, and then you see like what kind of Pokemon do they have. And perhaps you're easier to battle than the ones that were just holding the gym. So sometimes it could be easy, it could be more strategic to just wait and see, especially if you're a single fighter.
Yeah, and there is a small moment of time when after you won the gym fight and you are going to put your Pokemon in there, you should keep the Pokemon you want to put in the gym outside of the fight, because you don't want to spend the time healing him or her or it before putting it in, because between the time when you win and when you put in the Pokemon, somebody else can put a Pokemon in the gym.
Yeah, and I don't like that. That is cheating.
They gain nothing from this. except if they cash out then 500 stardust and 10 Pokecoins immediately. Because you can just beat down this single Pokemon or two Pokemons again and gain more XP. So you are actually the one benefiting from this as the attacker. But it feels kind of bad that somebody poached your gym.
Yeah.
But I had at the Ullared situation at that gigantic outlet, we had the red team was putting in like two Pokemons every time we took the gym. And we let them. We just waited like 10 seconds. And then we beat them down again for more XP. So they were kind of helping us farm the gym.
Yeah, that's kind of good. But, you know, at some point I would get really irritated about it.
Sometimes you also see that this gym is going down immediately after I've conquered it. You see this other team physically there and they will attack the gym. So then you can do the carping thing. Have you heard of carping?
No, actually not.
So what you do is that you have to save a 10 CP Magikarp. And then you just put that in the gym to show that you don't care.
A 10 CP Magikarp.
Yes, so you're like, that's carping the gym.
That's so arrogant.
Yeah. So I keep
And also brilliant.
I keep a 10 CP Magikarp in there just for that. There could actually be a point with putting a 10 CP Magikarp in the gym, but that's for attacking your own gyms, which we're going to talk about in a later episode. Do you have anything else to add about gym fights?
No, actually not.
So thank you, Anna, for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
And maybe you can come on again if Brennan goes away again.
That would be really nice. It's really nice to talk about Pokemon.
You can find this thing on Facebook at the PokePod Podcast. That was the shortest name we could find. You can find us on iTunes as the PokePod. You can find us on YouTube as on the YouTube channel Hard Nerd Cafe, with a lot of other nerdy stuff, such as my Game of Thrones podcast. Where can the listeners find more of you, Anna?
Yes, I have a blog. It's in Swedish, unfortunately, but if you are speaking Swedish, it would be nice if you can go in and read. It's on the address setsunasera.blogspot.se, and there I write a lot about my days and a lot about kittens and something about history and stuff. And then I have a Facebook page, Setsunasera. I write mostly in Swedish, but also post a lot of English links, and right now it's a lot about Pokemon. And then I am a Twitter addict, so I are on Twitter under the name Anna Seras. I write in Swedish, but sometimes also in English.
You can also find both Anna and me doing another podcast. Now we're losing all the listeners as we keep talking about Swedish. But we do a podcast in Swedish called Sagan om Isfolket podden. It's about the legend of the Ice People by Norwegian author Margit Sandemo, a book series of 47 books.
Yes, and we're doing a podcast about all the episodes, 47 episodes.
And you will understand it if you speak Norwegian or Danish as well. It's a sort of epic historical fantasy with witches and sex and stuff.
Exactly.
That was the cheapest explanation of the ice ever. Okay, that's enough from us this week. We'll be back next week.